This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining me on this beautiful Monday afternoon, and we have a lot to discuss. We're going to go right back to your calls in just a few minutes, but first, I'm very excited. It's been a long time since we've had Libby Emmons on the show. Libby from the Post Millennial, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure thing, Grace. Thanks for having me.
All right, Libby, so the first thing I want to talk to you about is this scandal that has really erupted, and it has only kind of garnered more attention as time goes on, regarding Balenciaga and their disturbing ad campaigns and the fallout from this, especially in Hollywood. Can you give my listeners, in case they've been unplugged for a couple days, a rundown of what happened here?
Sure. Balenciaga is a high fashion brand. Buying a handbag from Balenciaga will set you back thousands of dollars at minimum. And they released an ad campaign showing little children clutching teddy bears in bondage gear. And in the background of some of the photographs were documents about federal child pornography cases. So that's pretty much the backlash. People took a look at this and they said, oh, so Balenciaga is promoting the exploitation of children. Nobody in Hollywood said anything. They all routinely carry Balenciaga bags and wear Balenciaga shoes and whatever else emblazoned with Balenciaga. It's a very trendy, expensive brand. Balenciaga lashed out at the photographer who said, you guys told me what you wanted. You guys gave me these props. The props, in fact, are accessories in the 2023 spring line. These teddy bears wearing bondage gear, that's part of what Balenciaga is offering. So there's been substantial backlash online from people saying that exploiting children is probably not what a high fashion brand should be doing. Kim Kardashian gave a very milquetoast statement saying that she's going to consider her relationship with Balenciaga, but that she was sure they understood the gravity of the situation. And now it turns out that one of the major stylists for the brand essentially has been promoting Satanism, apparently. We have somebody looking into that this morning. So, yeah, pretty disgusting to see this splashed across magazines and Instagram and whatever else.
Yeah, I was very unimpressed with Kim Kardashian's statement, especially considering she's one of the most high-profile ambassadors of this brand. And it was very, like you said, it was milquetoast. You know, it was very that she felt obligated to post this because people were, you know, bothering her on Instagram and commenting on all of her cool pictures that she should say something. So she felt that she had to. But it was refreshing to see so many normal people come forward and say, excuse me, this is not okay.
Yeah, I was glad to see it, too. You know, from all us people who can't afford these handbags, you know, who would have to, like, win the lotto and then check off about a million things before we even got down to, like, buying Balenciaga handbags at the top of our list. Yeah, I was glad to see the pushback for it. I do think that these high fashion brands for too long are not held to account. They're allowed to do whatever they want, in large part because, in a lot of ways, what they're doing is an art project. And when they're gearing their art project towards adults, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, go for it. Be couture, be edgy, whatever you want to do. You know, we see, I think it's Tom York, I don't know, is always like trying to put men in skirts, trying to like make this trend happen. Go ahead, like do whatever you want on the Paris runways. But when it comes to exploiting children, I don't think they should be doing it. They know they shouldn't be doing it. We saw scandals in the 90s. Where fashion houses were basically held to account by a lot of people saying, like, you should not be showing underage models strutting the runway and in your advertising wearing these skimpy outfits. These young girls starve themselves and do whatever they can to, like, morph themselves into what the fashion brands were looking for. And that was about protecting young girls who were models. And now that it's actually just little kids out there being paraded about with, like, bondage gear, what are they trying to tell us? Are they trying to tell us that this is how we should view little girls? You know, we've been fighting against the beauty pageants for little girls for a long time. You know, there's, like, all of this incredible sexualization of children in our culture these days. And, you know, it's pretty disturbing. Kardashian mentioned that as a mother of four, she found it, you know, moderately unpleasant. But, you know, I don't know why it is that our culture is so intent on sexualizing kids and ushering them into adult sexual lifestyles and practices. I don't know where this comes from or why. People I talk to about it say, oh, you know, it's actually just evil and things like this. But, like, how did we get to this point? Is it just that we destroyed God? Like, why did we do this to ourselves?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. And I think that disturbing is definitely the best way to describe this. Libby, switching gears here for a minute, I wanted to get your reaction to this cut from Representative Adam Schiff. He was asked about when Republicans decide to subpoena people, if they subpoena Adam Schiff, would he comply? And I want to play this for you and then get your reaction, because as you know, Libby, and you're very well versed in this, when Republicans don't comply with subpoenas, there can be real world consequences. It is taken very seriously. And I'm sure you have some examples of that. But before we do, let's play this cut from Adam Schiff. This is cut five, please.
If you are subpoenaed by Republicans when they take over, will you comply?
You know, we'll have to consider the validity of the subpoena.
What's your reaction to that, Libby?
He should show up. I mean, if he's asked to testify in front of Congress, he should probably show up and do that. There's never really a good excuse not to do that. I'm interested to see what the GOP does when they have Congress, when they have the House, rather. They don't have the whole Congress. And we'll see what happens. They don't have a lot of power, the House, without any backup in the Senate and with, of course, no backup at the White House. They don't have a lot that they can do. But what they can do is undertake investigations. And we've seen some congressmen come out with some really strong ideas about what they'd like to investigate. They want to investigate Hunter Biden's laptop. They want to understand why that was squashed by the FBI leading up to the 2020 election. They want to know what that's about. They want to understand what went into the correspondence between the government and social media companies and mainstream media outlets about COVID. There's a lot going on there. They want to understand what Fauci knew when about the origins of COVID. So I think I'm hoping that even though they're not going to be able to pass a lot of laws, I'm really hoping that they're going to be able to bring some transparency to what's gone on over the past few years. You know, all of this stuff that's been done right beneath our noses, but under the cover of darkness in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think bringing that transparency, there's a real value in that, because right now I think a lot of Americans feel very bitter and kind of jaded over the last few years of not getting the full story. And I think that could be really healing for the nation. And I'm not saying that to be, you know, sarcastic or cliche. I really do think it could help a lot of people move on from some of the trauma that was brought on to people during COVID. Now, as we talk about Fauci, we've been focusing on him for the first hour. Obviously, he was deposed for 7 hours. But beyond that, Libby, he did a lot of media hits over the weekend, which I'm sure you saw. And it really was amazing when you juxtapose it with what's happening in China right now and what he's saying. Now, he's running cover for China and having no problem being very harsh and judgmental and Monday morning quarterbacking the Trump administration. But he has only kind things to say about China.
Yeah, that's quite something. We see that with the White House as well. They say that there's a right to peaceful protest, and they talk about the COVID policies, and they talk about the need to have, you know, more vaccines. And, of course, China has not approved any of the Western vaccines. They just have their own vaccines that they're going with, which, you know, I don't care what they want to do with that. But we're seeing, yeah, a real complicity in the U.S. power elite with regard to how China has been dealing with lockdowns, has been dealing with these protests that have broken out. So there was a fire in an apartment building the other day. I think it was on Thursday in, I think, Xinjiang province, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And that fire took a long time to put out, which was reportedly due to lockdown policies because the CCP has welded apartment doors shut, locking people in their apartment buildings so that they cannot violate quarantine orders. The CCP has been separating families, separating children as young as 2 years old from their families if, you know, one person tests positive and the other one doesn't. They've been so incredibly harsh with their population. And I really hope the best for these protesters who are out there fighting for their right to free movement. I mean, it's just so basic. You know, they're carrying papers out there saying that they want an end to censorship. And I hope that they get it. The U.S. has been shockingly silent when it comes to pro-democracy protesters who are under Chinese control. We did nothing when the people of Hong Kong spoke out and tried to fight back. We just watched them be squashed. We just watched that happen. We watched their free press be destroyed. We watched protesters be destroyed. We're watching now in China, people are getting beat up and detained. And of course, China has said outright that they have the intention to take back Taiwan. So what is the U.S. going to do in the face of one of the only other superpowers in the world squashing their citizenry like this? Are we just going to sit here and, like, still get all our goods manufactured from China? Are we still just going to make sure that, like, we get our phone cases and our laptops and our sneakers and whatever? Are we going to actually do something about it and show that we have solidarity with people who fight for their freedoms, no matter where they are? You know, we have some things that we could do. We just don't do it. And I think probably it has a lot to do with this administration really just not caring.
Yeah, and I think it also has a lot to do in the case of some of these major corporations. It has a lot to do with money. It has a lot to do with greed. And it's sad because these same people will lecture you about how terrible America is. And they'll be very brave when it comes to any issues here. They'll speak out against it. They'll speak out about Roe versus Wade. You know, LeBron James is outspoken about everything except for this major humanitarian issue that it's occurring in China. It's a really good point, Libby. Libby, I thank you so much for coming on the show. I wish we had more time. Please tell people where they can find you, follow you, and read all of your work.
You can find me at Libby Emmons on Twitter, and we're at thepostmillennial.com.
And they really do have all the best stuff. If you're looking for some quick stories that you can read and get a handle on everything that's going on in the day, it's thepostmillennial.com. Many of us think of Cape Cod as the place to be during the summer, and it is. There's no denying that. But I've got news for you. It's a super special place during the off season as well, especially if you're staying oceanside at the Nauset Beach Inn. You should book your Nauset Beach Inn getaway today. They've got special winter rates now through March 31st, starting at just $119.99 on weekdays and $149.99 a night on weekends. It's overlooking Nauset Beach. The Nauset Beach Inn is the only lodging available inside the Cape Cod National Seashore. Every room commands a superb view of the great outer beach and the ever-changing sea. And here's a bonus for everyone. Nauset Beach Inn is pet friendly too, so you can bring your pup or your cat with you as well. And each room is spacious with two queen size beds. Enjoy special winter rates. Like I said, this is a great deal through March 31st. Starts at $119.99 on weekdays, $149.99 a night on weekends, and reservations fill up quickly. So book early at NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com. All right, so we have a lot to get to when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about these Georgia runoffs. I also want to talk about the rail strike that we were told Biden fixed. I thought Joe Biden saved the day. And it turns out that now we have to brace for impact, because the rail strikes might be starting as soon as December 9th. I'll take your calls on this. It's 844-500-4242. Do not go anywhere. A lot of show left. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Why is the Chinese government acting so peculiar and weird? And they still have not come clean on what they can tell us about the start of this pandemic.
Yeah, that is true. And that is, in some respects, and I don't mean this in a broad pejorative way, but in anything that we've had to do over decades, whether it's bird flu, H5N1, H7N9, or the original SARS in 2002, even when there's nothing to hide, they act in a suspicious, non-transparent way, just probably because they don't want to make it look like there's a blame. When the reality is, if something evolves in your country, it's not to blame, but let's find out what went on so we could be transparent about it and prevent it for the next time happening.
They act suspicious no matter what. The Chinese government. That's what Fauci's saying. They act suspicious either way, whether they had something to do with it or not. All right. Interesting take there, Dr. Fauci. 844-500-4242. All right. So there's two stories brewing right now with the Biden administration. I'm going to open up the lines to the callers. I want to get your take on both of these. The first one is the rail strike is looming. And this is from News Nation Now. The U.S. industry is bracing for impact. Now, we heard that Joe Biden had this all figured out. And what's interesting is when Joe Biden was the conquering hero of the rail strikes and he had worked with the unions to figure out a way to avoid any strikes, it was all to his credit. He was the victor. You know, it was he should have had a parade. That's how wonderful he did. And then after the midterms, we found out actually the rail strikes might happen after all. Suddenly now we're being told by KJP that he had nothing, by Joe Biden himself, that he had nothing to do with it. So it's kind of going back and forth. They told us he was very heavily involved, and now the things are going awry. They told us that he's not involved. And Lawrence Jones on Fox, I was watching it, I promised myself I wouldn't, but I was watching a little bit of Fox News over the weekend. He had a great point about this. He said, it's just like gas prices. You know, when they're going up, it's not Joe Biden's fault. He's got nothing to do with it. When they're going down, where's the confetti? Pop the champagne. Say thank you, Mr. President. And they're doing this same thing again. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what this means for certain U.S. industries that are going to be very affected by this. And then on top of that, another story coming out of the Biden administration. The U.S. is allowing Chevron to expand energy operations in Venezuela. The U.S. Treasury on Saturday granted Chevron a license for a limited expansion of energy operations in Venezuela, signaling the possible beginning of the country's re-entry into the international oil market. I want to hear from you on this and what you make of it. Now, senior U.S. officials rejected the notion that the license has been issued to Chevron as a result of an increase in energy prices. That, to me, right there is the first red flag. And they're saying it was part of an effort by the Biden administration to restore democracy to Venezuela. Do you believe that? 844-500-4242. This is coming from the New York Times, by the way. We'll get to that. We got a little journalism in the news. But first, we're going to go to your calls. 844-500-4242. Be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Joe Biden is back at the White House, and a lot of things are happening today. The U.S. is allowing Chevron to expand energy operations in Venezuela. This is out of the New York Times. I saw Brian Kilmeade had tweeted about this a few days ago, and he wrote, "Sickening, Chevron gets U.S. license to pump oil in Venezuela again." I'm going to read you just a couple lines here. And if you want to call in and give your opinion on this, you're more than welcome. We are going to hit a few different stories in this next segment. And at some point today, I am going to talk about Trump and Kanye and Nick Fuentes and that whole meeting, because I did miss it and I think I easily could skip over it. But I do have my thoughts on it, and I think I've kind of put them together in a pretty coherent way. So we will talk about that at some point as well. It's 844-500-4242. So the U.S. Treasury on Saturday granted Chevron a license for a limited expansion of energy operations of Venezuela, signaling the possible beginning of the country's re-entry into the international oil market. Now, I've been seeing a lot of coverage of this on Fox News, a lot of warnings from experts about the danger in this kind of reversal of Biden's White House policy towards Venezuela. Foreign investments in the oil sector is something that Venezuela's authoritarian president, Nicolas Maduro, desperately needs to improve the economy. The license was issued in response to the resumption of talks between representatives of Mr. Maduro's government and the Venezuela opposition in Mexico on Saturday. Now, a senior Biden administration official described Saturday's announcement as important steps in the right direction, but added that there was a long way to go in resolving Venezuela's complex economic, political, and humanitarian crisis. The deal is part of a shift in U.S. strategy on Venezuela that many analysts say has been accelerated by reduced global oil supplies as a result of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Now, that to me makes sense. And I'm at a point now with this administration where the very, very least I expect, like if I could ask for one thing, is, you know, I know they're going to make deals. I know there's corruption. I know they're going to do things for the benefit of the left-wing agenda and not for the American people. And I understand that. But just have a kernel of truth in there. You know, don't assume that we're all dumb. Don't assume that we're buying these company lines, the KJP or Joe Biden or Ron Klain tweet out. Because most people can put two and two together. That all of these sudden switches in policy are not coming out of nowhere. It says, in calls with reporters on Saturday, the senior U.S. official rejected the notion that the license has been issued to Chevron as a result of an increase in energy prices, saying it was part of an effort by the Biden administration to restore democracy to Venezuela. This kind of brings me back to the FTX of it all. And I'm not saying FTX has anything to do with this. I'm just, when I was reading about FTX, Michael Schellenberger had a really good Substack, and he said the liberals have this obsession with, I don't know if it's convincing themselves or convincing you that whatever they're doing has some altruistic meaning behind it. You know, it can't just be, listen, energy prices are really high right now. We're trying to figure this out. They can't just level with you. It has to be, no. This is because we're such good people. We're trying to restore democracy. Now, if that's the case, and the Biden administration, full of these Ivy Leaguers, are telling me that they want to restore democracy, my next follow-up would be, what makes you think, with the current state of this country and all that's going on, including a looming rail strike, including an immigration crisis, what makes you think that you have enough openings on your agenda right now to tackle Venezuela's democracy? You don't think you got enough on your own plate? You don't think you got enough to bite off here? You've bitten off enough that you can chew? Like, you think you got to bring on more now? What, are you bored? You don't have enough to do every day? That, to me, just is so dishonest. And of course it's dishonest. It's the Biden administration. But as I was saying, domestically, they have plenty of their own problems. Now, here's one of them. Rail strikes are looming in the U.S., Now, this is from News Nation Now. It says one of the biggest rail unions rejected a deal Monday. Imagine them rejecting a deal from Lunch Bucket Joe. He's one of the guys. He brings hoagies to everybody. He wears a baseball cap. He jogs to the camera. He wears jeans and a leather bomber jacket. Check the polls, Jack. And you're going to reject a deal that Joe Biden helped broker? The nerve. Now, that raises the risk of a strike, which could start as soon as December 9th under a deadline that was pushed back Tuesday. It wouldn't take long for the effects of a strike to trickle through the economy. Many businesses only have a few days worth of raw materials and space for finished goods. And makers of food, fuel, cars, and chemicals would all feel the squeeze, as would their customers. United States Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, who has really, when you think about it, when you look back at the history of transportation secretaries, it's amazing how many things this man has managed to bungle in such a short amount of time. The supply chain crisis comes to mind. I can't explain it. I'm just one of those people at a restaurant who's trying their best to understand it. But I heard it was kind of a pain for a lot of people. And so now Mayor Pete, who got the job because he said airports were romantic. That was his qualifications for getting. See, Matt's looking at me like, huh? Yeah, no, that's true, Matt. You can fact check me if you want. That was his qualifications. He was the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and he thinks airports are romantic. And that's why he has this job. Doesn't that explain why things might not be going so swimmingly right now? Well, he said the Biden administration's goal is to make sure a strike does not happen. Do you think that Mayor Pete will be successful? 844-500-4242. Call me crazy, I have my doubts. His batting average right now is not good when it comes to handling these issues. And, you know, I just mentioned the supply chain crisis. It might be a good time to throw this in. We've been talking recently about how there are still certain things that we're running low on in this country. And obviously the one that I think garnered the most attention from people, still not as much attention as it would have had Donald Trump been president, but was the baby formula shortage. A lot of people in the media had to talk about that because parents were outraged and scared and children are going hungry. And so even reporters who love Joe Biden and never want to see him hurt had to acknowledge that that's a problem. Well, now, and I don't know if anyone has been really following this, but amoxicillin is, there's a massive shortage of that and ibuprofen. Now, I've heard it was children's ibuprofen, but based off this story, it might just be regular ibuprofen. But listen to Dr. Ashish Jha. He was asked about this on ABC This Week. And what he basically says, he's asked about amoxicillin and he's asked about the ibuprofen shortage. And he doesn't give any specifics. You know, there's no game plan. There's no, you know, remember we used to hear about these prongs, these five-pronged plans, these six-pronged plans. There's no prongs anymore. The prongs have left the building. So now we've gone from, all right, what's going on with amoxicillin? What's going on with ibuprofen? Doesn't answer any of those. Glosses over it like you wouldn't believe. And then he goes right into pushing COVID shots and flu shots on people. Can I have cut 13, please, Matt?
Ask about this shortage of amoxicillin and even ibuprofen in some places.
Yeah.
What do they do about that?
Yeah, this is, you know, we have some broader supply chain issues with our medications that we've had for decades. I have seen this as a practicing clinician. I often, when I walk into the hospital, find some normal medicine that I'm used to using not available.
Can we pause, Matt? Can you pause it for a sec there? Because I want to continue it. This is one of the tactics I've noticed from the Biden administration. And that is, when in doubt, when asked a question about something that you are responsible for, that this administration is responsible for, when asked about a problem that has specifically happened under your nose, under your watch, be sure before you say anything else to make it clear that this has been a problem for decades. And I remember this. I remember thinking this when there was the baby formula shortage. And I would see people, and even when there were shortages of food at the grocery store, you'd go to buy your favorite chocolate chip cookies, Famous Amos, whatever it was, there would be none. People were, you know, writing about this. And then there was this push from the left that, you know, these things happen. This is something. And I remember thinking, there wasn't a baby formula shortage under Donald Trump, because if there was, I would have remembered it, because there would have been coverage of it every day for months on end on every channel 24/7, just like they did with the kids in cages. It would have been the cover of Time magazine, a crying baby. It would have been everywhere. But now every time these brilliant minds, these Avengers, these adults back in charge, every time they're asked about this, they try to claim that it's been happening since the beginning. You know, this is just, well, you know, this is something that's been happening all the time. Really? I don't really remember any of this happening before Joe took over. Go ahead, Matt, play the rest.
Medicine that I'm used to using, not available. We have got to continue working on that. We've made a lot of strides in this administration, but our work here is not done. So we have got to continue making sure that these medicines are available. I will tell you, the good news is plenty of vaccines for flu and COVID, plenty of treatments for flu and COVID. Those are still out there. We have plenty of those.
I'm glad there's vaccines for COVID. You know, the more they push this, and I have no problem if you are someone who's older, if you are someone who has comorbidities, if you're someone who's a big fan of Fauci, if you want to get the COVID boosters, knock yourself out, boost yourself out. You can get as many as you want. I do not care. But it's this incessant push that they have to work it into every conversation. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when you're watching something on Instagram, like a video someone made, and then you realize they're trying to sell you something, and you're just like, oh, it's one of these videos. Ugh, I can't believe I wasted 5 minutes. All of a sudden, the girl you know from high school starts saying, that's why I started using this serum on my eyebrows, and it makes them grow in so much thicker. And you're like, wait a second, huh? Wait, oh, they're pushing this. That's what they're doing, but with this medical COVID booster shot, they keep working it into these conversations. Well, yeah, you might not have amoxicillin for your child. You might not be able to get ibuprofen for your kid. But did we mention that if you get this booster shot, you can get a free Krispy Kreme and a $50 gift card to the grocery store? Now, I'm kidding about that last part. I don't know how much of that stuff's going on anymore. But it really is amazing to me that no one takes responsibility for, and no one has any answers. And Martha Raddatz at ABC is definitely not going to press for them. Neither is Margaret Brennan from wherever. I don't even know where any of these stations anymore. CBS. It's just pathetic. So now we hear that this has been going on for decades, but at least you can get your COVID and flu vaccines. So these are the big updates from the Biden administration. This week on the West Wing, we have amoxicillin shortage, ibuprofen shortage, rail strikes are probably going to happen despite Mayor Pete's best efforts. And as mentioned, Chevron is allowed to expand its energy operations into Venezuela, not because of the price of energy or anything like that, but because Joe and his gang of good fellas are trying to restore democracy abroad. 844-500-4242. And you know what the word of the year is, by the way? This is just a side note, but it seems to fit pretty well with this administration. The word of the year is gaslighting. And I feel like between KJP and Jen Psaki and Joe Biden and Martha Raddatz, I've been gaslit plenty this year. I've been gaslit enough this year for the rest of my life, being told that everything's great. This is how everything's always worked. And you've got nothing to worry about. Yeah, I think gaslighting is a really good choice for the word of the year from Merriam-Webster. Black Friday is now at Kayans, and it's time to lean back and save on the awesome stressless chair at Kayans, located in Plymouth, Mass. And right now you can buy a stressless recliner, sofa, or an amazing office chair and get up to a $1,500 credit towards the purchase of more incredible stressless products. Or save $400 on a stressless signature base recliner with ottoman and motorized classic power recliners. I know people who swear by the stressless line of chairs. There's never been a better time to have a stressless comfort for less. If you're sitting on your butt all day long, you want to be comfortable. A lot of people are in chairs for a long time during the workday or when you're at home watching TV. You want to be comfortable. You don't want to put that extra stress on your neck and on your back. It's really bad for you. So to see the best selection of stressless products, go to Kayans, located at 96 Long Pond Road in Plymouth, or go to kahians.com. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Answering the hard-hitting questions of our time.
Let's say you're abducted by aliens.
Fine.
They haul you aboard the mothership, take you back to their planet as a curiosity. Now, would you rather be in their zoo or their circus?
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. The holidays are here, and the steak experts at Omaha Steaks have put together special curated gift packages to help take the guesswork out of giving and gifting and make you a holiday hero. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code GRACE at checkout to get $30 off your order. Please don't forget to use that code word GRACE. Minimum order may be required. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If Republicans can only investigate one of the two, whom would you rather they go after? Dr. Fauci or Hunter Biden?
First of all, I want to give you or Jared, I don't know who put together the poll question, props on the whom, because that would not have been something I'd be capable of. Whom is not in my wheelhouse. But with that being said, I'm going to choose Dr. Fauci because this 7-hour deposition and plus his media tour that is just has been happening now for years. I mean, the guy gets more publicity than the Kardashians. I got to go Fauci. And I also think that what he's involved in with COVID is a lot more wide reaching than what Hunter Biden's involved in. Not downplaying Hunter at all, but I just think Fauci might be able to provide us with some answers about how not only how COVID started, but also the damage that was done during those lockdowns.
Well, with 42%, Dr. Fauci's coming up a little bit short.
Very, very good, Matt. You're learning from the master, Jared, at these short jokes. Very good. Okay, well, there's still time. Hey, by the way, 781 says, Grace, we're running low on a lot of things, but incompetence is not one of them. Very true. Running low on amoxicillin, running low on ibuprofen. At one point, you're running low on baby formula. We're running low on gas. But guess what? Running low on power, running low on heat. But we are, our cup runneth over when it comes to incompetence. Speaking of incompetence, did anyone see this Alyssa Milano story? This is hysterical. Alyssa Milano, she's this big Hollywood phony. She's a Hollywood phony. It's the best way to describe her. Rose McGowan called her out so many times. She's the definition of a do what I say, but not as I do Democrat. And she is being blasted by conservatives, but it's because she wanted to show everyone that she's a hero. She wanted to virtue signal. It's one of her favorite things to do. So this is what she told people, okay? She tweeted it. She said, I gave back my Tesla. Can you play, Matt, and I know you'll have to look for it a little bit. Can you play a little bit of There's a Hero by Mariah Carey? I've got it saved there somewhere. Alyssa deserves it today. She said, I gave back my Tesla. I bought the VW EV. I love it. I'm not sure how advertisers can buy space on Twitter. Publicly traded companies' products being pushed in alignment with hate and white supremacy doesn't seem to be a winning business model. Now, there's a problem with this. The problem being that Volkswagen has some problematic ties of its own. Let's see. One, Pete DeBrasco wrote, wait till you find out who founded Volkswagen. Another person wrote, Volkswagen was literally founded by the Nazis and Hitler. Nice try, Alyssa. Hopefully your virtue signaling will work out better next time. We'll be right back with more. It's the Grace Curley Show.